Good evening, friends. We welcome all our visitors here this evening. We're very pleased to see you here. We are privileged this week to have with us Mr. Richard Bracey from Tasmania, who is in Perth to deliver a series of Bible studies to the Christadelphians. But also, last week, he delivered our public lecture. And again this evening, he will address us to the title, How Christ's Return Will Change the World. It is our custom, friends, to begin our public lectures with hymn and prayer. Our opening hymn from the Christadelphian hymn book is number 17, and we invite you to stand and sing along with us. Friends, our speaker, Mr. Richard Bracey, has asked that we introduce his remarks with a reading from the Word of God. That reading will be taken from Luke 21, beginning at verse 22. We would invite you to open up your Bibles and read along with us. To introduce our lecture for this evening, How Christ's Return Will Change the World. And I now call forward my brother in Christ, Mr. Richard Bracey.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we give you a very warm welcome to be amongst us this evening. We thank you have accepted our invitation to come along and to see what the Bible has to say. And particularly tonight, we are dealing with how Christ's return will change the world. If you haven't been to a Christadelphian lecture before, you're probably wondering what the long name Christadelphian means. Well, it simply means brethren in Christ. And that really explains what the Christadelphians are. They are nothing more or nothing less than Bible students. They love to read the Bible, to study it, to find out what God's message is. And we would like to share some of those thoughts with you this evening, ladies and gentlemen. You see, the Bible, when you read it, is like a big jigsaw puzzle. You can put the quotations together and form a picture, because that's the way that God has written his word. And what we want to do this evening, ladies and gentlemen, is to read that word together so that we might see a picture forming of how Christ's coming is going to change the world dramatically in which we live. So firstly, we're going to have a look why the world needs to change. And then we're going to have a look at a few proofs of Christ's return. Only a few, because we dealt with that last Sunday evening. And then we're going to look at the dramatic changes that are going to take place when the Lord Jesus Christ does return to this earth. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be looking at a lot of Bible quotations this evening. To make it easier for you, we're going to put all these quotations on the screen so you don't have to spend time flipping through your Bible and probably losing track of what we are trying to say. So all the quotes will be on the screen. What I suggest you do is to get a pencil, biro, and jot down these quotes as we go through them so that when you get at home, you may have the picture in your mind, but you need to have a look at these quotes yourselves. Read them again at home and look at the context of what they are all about. Well, let us begin then for a few moments by considering the fact that the world in which we live does need to change. Now, I'm sure, ladies and gentlemen, that picture will bring many thoughts into your minds. And it is there to remind us of some of the catastrophes that is taking place in the world in which we live. We are fairly isolated in Australia, all that we know that there are many problems in Australia, but it seems at present that the huge problems are still overseas. And because we are isolated in Australia, we might perhaps realise the enormity of things that are taking place in the world in which we live. And I well remember when those twin towers fell down, one of the first things that I heard on the radio was that the world will never be the same again. And it isn't, ladies and gentlemen. You know for yourselves the world in which we live has changed dramatically. There's some of the problems, and these are only a very few, is war. We know that there is not one day passes when there is not a war taking place somewhere in the earth. Innocent people totally being killed because of other people's wars. There is violence, and we know that. We see it on television, radio. The world is absolutely full of violence, such as we have never seen before, and it is on an increasing scale. There is so much sorrow about with these terrible bombings, accidents, bringing down of aeroplanes. We know it all, don't we, ladies and gentlemen? It is bringing terrible sorrow upon the earth. These are the problems that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to have to solve when he returns to this earth. And that's why we want to show you what the Bible says and how the Lord Jesus Christ is going to solve these things. Sickness. We know, although the medical profession has solved many sicknesses, yet there are many, many diseases in this earth still incurable, which are killing millions of people. And there is death itself that always brings tragedy, doesn't it? And corruption. The world, as we know, is full of corruption. Many, many organisations that are working for charity, we know that there is corruption in their midst. We know leaders of nations are corrupt. Even here in Australia, we have seen examples. And I know myself, living in Tasmania, we have been told that out of every 3 shipping containers that leave Tasmania for welfare overseas, there is 1 that disappears. Those are the sort of things that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to have to deal with. And we know one of the big issues that is facing us all today is terrorism. Things have changed since that day. And we even have the mighty nation of the United States is being humbled by terrorism. Even though they've got all the firepower, they're in a situation where they cannot see the enemy. They do not know when the enemy is going to strike again. And that, of course, is bringing great fear upon the people. And as we know, this fear is not only in America. Even here in Australia, we have seen how airport security has been stepped up. Only this week, we've heard of another scare with Virgin Airlines. We know how the mail system was disrupted when a few envelopes containing white powder was discovered. We know the fear of car bombs that is in many cities of the earth. And even in quiet Tasmania, we felt that fear, ladies and gentlemen, with the Hobart massacre, with the Port Arthur massacre. Indeed, there is much fear. And I'm sure every one of you, when you get upon an aeroplane, you think about that. When you're in the skyscrapers, I'm sure you think about it also. But ladies and gentlemen, these things are in the Bible. The days in which we live have been forecast for us so that we know the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. And in that Bible reading that we've just shared together, it tells us at verse 26 that the days in which we live are exactly as foretold in the Bible. We are living in the days when men's hearts are failing them for fear. And we are only just at the beginning of these things. And why are they fearing? Because they are looking after those things which are coming upon the earth. And we know with these car bombs, train bombs, aircraft bombs,
all these things are putting fear into our hearts. And we know that there are greater things to come,
because we have heard of terrible chemical warfare and such things as that. But these days have been foretold in the Bible. That's why we need to have to read our Bibles.
We live in a community where Bibles aren't read as much as they used to be.
We are not aware anymore of what the Bible is saying. And that's why we've invited you along this evening, that we might share these things with you, that you might come to realise that the earth is not out of control. The God of heaven is still in control, and these events are happening exactly as God predicted.
So one of the signs of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ we find in Matthew 24. And because it says here at verse 37, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Now the coming of the Son of Man is a reference to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. And the Bible is telling us that the days just before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ back to the earth will be like the days of Noah. So we need to find out what the days of Noah were like,
that we might recognise when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. We can go back to Genesis chapter 6, which is the chapter about Noah's day. And there we find the story how the earth became corrupt and God intervened in men's affairs and brought judgment upon the nations of that day. Now the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on the earth, said the days just before my second coming are going to be just like Noah's day. So what do we read of Noah's day? "The earth also was corrupt before God." Haven't we already mentioned the corruption that is facing us in the earth? It goes on to say the earth was filled with violence. These are the days of Noah. And the Lord Jesus Christ said it's going to be exactly like that at my second coming. And we read in those days of Noah, God looked upon the earth and behold it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And that's a picture of today, ladies and gentlemen. The world in which we live has turned its back upon religion. It's turned its back upon God's way, and it's making up its own laws. No longer in schools are we told what is right and wrong. We have to make a choice ourselves. And yet in my day, we were told that things like stealing was wrong. We were taught the basis of life. But today, that isn't happening. We've corrupted God's way upon the earth. Still reading of Noah's day, "And God saw the wickedness of man in Noah's day. He saw that it was great upon the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." And ladies and gentlemen, we know the evil that is in men's hearts today. We know what is taking place in the great cities of the world, the wickedness that is there. We only have to get on our computer and get in the wrong pathways of the internet to realise the evil that is upon the earth. But we don't need to be discouraged by all this, because the Bible tells us a word of encouragement about the days in which we live. Again, it's in that chapter that we read together tonight. Luke 21 is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, "When you see these things begin to come to pass," we are beginning to see them being fulfilled in the very days which we live, "then the Lord Jesus Christ says, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." And he's talking about the day in which he is going to return to this earth, and he is going to reward those who have been faithful. So he's saying to the faithful, rejoice in the days in which you live, because I'm coming back to give you redemption. And that's why we would like to interest you, ladies and gentlemen, in the Bible and its message, that when the Lord Jesus Christ does return, you might be found acceptable to him. In Luke chapter 17, we read, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. Now, here's a warning for us all, ladies and gentlemen. What was it like in Noah's day? They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into his ark. And God had warned Noah about the flood that was coming upon the earth. He had instructed him to build an ark, and Noah was ready. And life in Noah's day went on very normal until one day thing changed. And that was the day that Noah entered into the ark, and God's judgment in a flood came, and it destroyed the world of that day. That's the warning to us, ladies and gentlemen. It's going to come suddenly when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. In that reading that we shared together tonight, we see exactly the same warning for us. In Luke 21, it says, for as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Now, I'm sure every one of us know how a snare works. We set the wire trap on a little track where the rabbits run. The rabbit has got no clue that snare's there. The rabbit, in all innocence, comes bowling along and suddenly, twang, and that snare springs. Now, what the Bible is telling us is that's how the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be upon this earth. That's why we need to prepare today. We can't wait until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And that's why we have our Bible. God has given us the Bible that we might know his plan with this earth. So the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, has very good news for us. Extremely good news for us. And it's called the gospel. And the good news for all of us is that things are going to change. The world in which we live is not going to continue as it is. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to intervene. And God is going to send his Son back to this earth to establish a kingdom upon this earth. That's the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ, to establish the kingdom of God upon this earth. Now, if you were with us last Sunday, you remember we talked about that Bible prophecy of the image. And we saw how that prophecy told us that there was a stone going to come and smite the image on its feet. And that image represented the kingdoms of men. The stone represented the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ was going to smite the kingdoms of men. Then that little stone we saw in the dream was going to grow and grow until it filled the whole earth. That is the kingdom of God. And in Daniel 2, it says God's kingdom is going to be set up upon this earth, and it's going to replace the kingdoms of men. Now, if you weren't here last Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, you can get a tape, or you can read Daniel chapter 2 in the Old Testament yourself and read that prophecy. So what we wish to do now is we need to look briefly at Bible promises of Christ's second coming. We want to see where the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return on the earth.
We want to have a look at the Lord Jesus Christ as King of the world and see what he's going to do. And then we want to see the changes that's going to take place when the Lord Jesus Christ is King.
Let us then go right back to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there we will see a prophecy. This is Luke chapter 1.
When the angel said unto Mary, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favour with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and thou shalt bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus," which means Saviour. Now listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen, to what God is telling us. The angel is saying to Mary, "He, that is Jesus, shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest," or the Son of God. "And the Lord God is going to give unto him," the Lord Jesus Christ, "the throne of his father David." And that's a reference to King David in the Old Testament. And David was a very well-known king. And he reigned from a throne in Jerusalem. And God is saying at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ that I'm going to give that throne in Jerusalem to my son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say, "He shall reign over the house of Jacob," that's Israel, "forever, and his kingdom," there it is again, it's going to replace the kingdoms of men, "his kingdom, there will be no end to that kingdom. It will be never, ever replaced by other kingdoms." Now, when the Lord Jesus Christ was upon the earth, he also mentioned this time. In Matthew 16, this is the preaching that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke in the streets of Jerusalem. In Matthew 16, he said, "The Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father." The glory of his Father means he's going to return to his Father, he's going to receive immortality. As we know, the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he ascended to his Father. He will, the second time, he will come in the glory and the power of God with his angels, and then in that day, he's going to reward every man according to his works. You know, even the Lord's Prayer is a prophecy of the age to come, the coming kingdom. And the prayer used to be said in Parliament, and I believe now it's only used very occasionally. But if we could only listen to the Lord's Prayer and see what God is saying. So in Matthew chapter 6, it says, "Thy kingdom come." You see, the disciples came to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, "Teach us to pray." And Christ's answer was, "Pray for the coming kingdom, when I will return to this earth and fix the earth's problem. Because in that day, thy will, God's will be done in the earth, as it is now done in heaven." So this kingdom age we're speaking of is the time when God's will, not man's will, is going to be done in the earth. Today man is doing just as he likes, but God is going to intervene. Let's again listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 24. In Matthew 24 it says, "And this gospel," the good news about the setting up of God's kingdom, "is going to be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, that they might have a chance to respond to the gospel." And that's happening today. The gospel is going throughout the whole earth, and it's there that they might have a chance to respond to God's message. And as it says there, "Once that has been accomplished, and then shall the end come." And that is when the Lord Jesus Christ returns again to this earth. In Acts chapter 1, we have the time when the Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected after his crucifixion. He was on the earth for 40 days before he returned to heaven. This is what it says. And it says, when Jesus had spoken these things, and while they, that is the disciples, beheld him, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So the Lord Jesus Christ ascended to his Father, right before their very eyes. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. So there were two angels there. And these two angels spoke to the disciples, and they said, ye men of Galilee, why are ye standing gazing up into heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ had just ascended? And then he gave them a very important message. This same Jesus, which you have seen taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So you have seen him go physically up into heaven with your own eyes. And the two angels said, that's exactly the same way he's coming back. You are visibly going to be able to see him with your own eyes, because he's coming back physically to the earth. Now, if that be so, we need to search the scriptures and to ask the question. We're interested, aren't we? Where is the Lord Jesus Christ going to return to? Now, ladies and gentlemen, we need to read our Bibles very carefully about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there are many, many people over many years that have looked for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not all of them have based their thoughts upon the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ will come in a day, says the Scripture, in a day when you think not, unexpectedly. And what we need to do, ladies and gentlemen, is to read the Word of God very carefully so that we don't get caught up with wrong ideas. Because there are many, many groups who have done some awfully strange things. Here is an example. You probably might find them a little small to read, so I'll read it to you. It says a 2,000-seater amphitheatre costing $40,000 was built overlooking Sydney Harbour, Australia, in 1925 for the second coming of Christ. Members of the Order of the Star of the East believe that Christ would soon return to the earth in human form, walk across the Pacific Ocean to the amphitheatre. And when it was completed, the protector of the order, Dr. Annie Besant, said, even though the world may reject him again this time, he will at least find one place where he will be welcomed and be able to teach the multitude. And when Christ had not arrived in 1929, that order just dissolved. The Roman Catholic Church brought the amphitheatre in 1930, and then it was sold to real estate developers in 1950, and the site is now a block of flats. You see, ladies and gentlemen, that belief was not based upon Bible teaching. They did not read their Bible, because the Bible does not say he was going to walk across the Pacific Ocean and come into Sydney Harbour. That's why we're encouraging you, ladies and gentlemen, to read the Bible yourself. Now in Acts chapter 1, after the verses we've just read, where the Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, it goes on to say exactly where the disciples were. It says, the disciples returned, they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet. Where's Olivet? Which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. So Mount Olivet is in Jerusalem, not far away, just a Sabbath day's journey. Now that's where the disciples were when the two angels said he's going to come in like manner as ye have seen him go. And when we read other Bible prophecies, this one is in the New Testament, we go to the Old Testament and we find exactly the same information. That's why we know the Bible is true. Although these different books of the Bible have been written by different people, God is the author. Therefore, the message is consistent. In the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 14, speaking of Christ's return, it says, "His feet, the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he returns, shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem." You see, it agrees with Acts chapter 1. And then it goes on and tells us, "And the Mount of Olives is going to cleave in the midst thereof, towards the east and towards the west. The mountain is going to split in a gigantic earthquake. And there shall be a very great valley. Half of the mountain shall remove to the north, half of it shall remove to the south."
Now, we're not going to concentrate on that earthquake because it's not part of our subject this evening. But we can see one dramatic event that will take place there when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. In Zechariah chapter 12,
it says, "I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem in that day the spirit of grace and supplication." Now listen what it says, ladies and gentlemen. So it's talking about that day the Lord Jesus Christ returns to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. It says, "They shall look upon me," says the Lord Jesus Christ, "whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his own son." Now what that's telling us, ladies and gentlemen, is something very important. In that day, the Jewish people are going to be able to see the Lord Jesus Christ with their own eyes. He's physically going to return to Jerusalem, and they're going to look upon the one that they pierced, the one they crucified.
That shows us very clearly that it is a visible and a physical return of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You see, the prophecy of Zechariah also goes on and gives us more proof. And it says, "The Jews will say to the Lord Jesus Christ, 'What are those wounds in your hands?' And as we know, when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, they drove nails through the palms of his hand and his feet as he was nailed on the cross. And in that day, the Jews are going to see the marks of that crucifixion." How could that happen if it wasn't a literal return to Jerusalem? They're going to ask him, "What are the wounds in thine hands?" And the Lord Jesus Christ then is going to say, "Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends." And the Jewish people are then going to realise that they did crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he means when he says, "I was crucified in the house of my friends." So having seen where the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return to, we want to now have a look at what the Bible says about the Lord Jesus Christ reigning as king, as we've seen upon that throne in Jerusalem. There are lots of Bible quotations that tell us clearly the Lord Jesus Christ is going to reign from Jerusalem as king of the whole earth. When the Lord Jesus Christ went up before Pilate, just before he was crucified, as they were trying to find evidence to crucify him, Pilate therefore said unto Jesus, "Art thou a king?" And Jesus answered, "What thou sayest, that I'm a king." And then the Lord Jesus Christ, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world." They're the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He said, "The main purpose of me being born was that I might reign as king over the whole earth." The prophecies of Zechariah once more. It tells us very, very clearly, "And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there's one Lord and his name one." Can you imagine the change, ladies and gentlemen, when we have one person ruling the whole earth? And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is going to do. Progressively, his administration and power is going to spread from Jerusalem across the whole earth. You remember the prophecy last week of the stone that would grow and fill the whole earth? This is the Lord Jesus Christ
reigning as king. Matthew chapter 5, again the words of the Lord Jesus Christ.
But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, neither by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, because it is the city of the great king.
Jerusalem is the city that God is going to give to his son. Jeremiah chapter 3.
There is a prophecy, it says, and at that time, that's when the Lord Jesus Christ has returned, they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord. And remember what was said at his birth? God was going to give the Lord Jesus Christ the throne of his father David. So at that time, when Christ has returned, they're going to call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord. And all nations, not some of them, all nations are going to be gathered unto it to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither are they going to walk any more after the imagination of their heart. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, the days of Noah? Every imagination of their heart was only evil continually. But these days are going to change when the Lord Jesus Christ is king in Jerusalem. As he goes out and educates the whole world into the ways of God. And in those days, the imagination of their evil heart will be corrected, because they will listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what are the changes that's going to take place when the Lord Jesus Christ returns? What about all these problems that we've seen as we began our address this evening? What about war? How's the Lord Jesus Christ going to stop the terrible wars that are upon this earth? We see there thousands of refugees fleeing from a war that they want nothing to do with. Innocent children are being maimed or killed by people who are constantly fighting for all sorts of reasons. How's the Lord Jesus Christ going to change all this? Well, in the prophecy of Isaiah, we are told that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to abolish war. He's going to act as a judge to all the nations of the earth. And he's going to find it necessary to rebuke many people. And he is going to rebuke the nations of the world. And he's going to have the power to do it. And finally, they're going to beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks as they learn the futility of war and see God's way. They're going to literally beat their swords into plowshares. And in that day, nation shall not lift up sword against nation. Neither are they going to learn war anymore.
And that's the problem of the wicked world in which we live. We know in the Middle East that children are being taught to hate. Children are being taught to kill. And we know that even in some schools, they are saying things like, look, if there are so many Jews, if there are 10 Jews in a room and you machine gun 9, how many have you got left? These are the sort of hatred that is being taught. Those days are going to change when the Lord Jesus Christ is in the earth. He's going to get right to the root of the problem, the mind of man. How's the Lord Jesus Christ going to deal with the terrible sicknesses? Millions are dying in Africa every year. How's the Lord Jesus Christ going to deal with sickness? How's he going to fix the problem of people who are lame, who can't see, who are deaf? Well, the Bible has the answer. It tells us that Lord Jesus Christ has got the power to fix these problems. And we read in Isaiah 35, again a prophecy of the future. It says, in that day of the Lord Jesus Christ's return, the eyes of the blind are going to be opened.
And we know, ladies and gentlemen, that the Lord Jesus Christ can do that. Even people who have been born blind from birth, the Lord Jesus Christ can fix that problem. Because when we read the Bible, it tells us about the days he walked in Jerusalem when he literally did that. And when he comes back with the power of the Father, he's going to fix these problems. The ears of the deaf, are going to be unstopped. They're going to be able to hear for the first time in their life. The lame man is going to leap as a hart. And the tongue of the person that is dumb is going to be able to sing. You see, these are the marvellous pictures that the Bible tells us about the return of the Son of God. How he's going to fix all these problems. What about the dreadful famines upon the earth? How on earth is the Son of God going to be able to feed those millions that have no food? You know, it was on the radio the other day, there are 800 million people in the earth who do not have fresh water, never mind food. Think of the work of feeding that sort of people. But the Bible tells us the Lord Jesus Christ is going to fix that problem. In Psalm 72, we read of the abundance that the earth is going to bring forth. The earth, the soil, is going to change. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to make the soil bring forth much more than it does today. In Psalm 72, speaking of that day, it says, there's going to be just a handful of corn on the top of a mountain, where it's all rocky and there's poor soil. And it says, but that handful of corn, the fruit thereof that's going to come from that handful of corn, is the wheat, and that sort of crop is going to be waving in the breeze, absolutely loaded, because the soil is going to produce much more. The prophecy of Amos, speaking also of that day. And you imagine this, ladies and gentlemen. You grow beautiful crops of wheat over here. You imagine this. Behold, the days will come, saith the Lord, that the ploughman is going to overtake the reaper. The harvests are going to be so heavy that the ploughman is waiting to come in to sow the next crop, and they're still harvesting in the field the previous crop. The treader of grapes, him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills will melt. So all the land that is now barren is going to be producing an abundance of food to feed those people that are starving. And the Lord Jesus Christ has the power of the Father to do that. What about death? What about all the terrible sorrows caused by death? And there's a picture of a mother and child who died because Sedan gassed them. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to be faced with problems like that. The terrible sorrow that comes from death. What does the Bible have to say about those things? Are they really going to change? Well, in Revelation 21, it says, in that day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, that God is going to wipe away all tears from their eyes. There's going to be no more death eventually when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Neither is there going to be sorrow. He's going to remove that. Neither crying. Neither is there going to be any more pain. For all these things are going to pass away. You see, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be set up, and over a period of 1,000 years, things are going to slowly be improving, until finally, he's going to even eradicate death from this earth. Can you imagine that, ladies and gentlemen? No more sorrow to bring tears to your eyes? No more pain? Aren't these things worth looking into, that we might see what the kingdom is really going to be like? It's all here in the Bible. What about violence? What a hard thing to overcome, the anger that's in men's hearts. And we've read, haven't we, of these riots. where youths just go mad, kicking in shop windows, turning cars upside down, burning them. People shooting one another because they didn't get what they wanted. How's the Lord Jesus Christ going to deal with violence? Well, the Bible tells us that he's going to remove that fear from the earth. And in Micah chapter 4, it says, "In that day they shall sit, every man shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and nobody's going to make them afraid." Because the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be in control, and people will not be allowed to do the things that they are doing today. And we see here, towards the end of that thousand-year reign, 1 Corinthians 15, it's saying the Lord Jesus Christ is going to reign upon this earth until he has put all enemies under his feet. And God's given him the power to accomplish that. And the last enemy that's going to be destroyed is death. And the Lord Jesus Christ has the power to overcome death. And he proved that, didn't he, in the days when he was upon the earth. He raised dead people. And God himself has proved to us that he has the power to overcome death, because he's raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the grave. Respond to his laws. Zechariah 14 says, "And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all families of the earth to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall come no rain." So the Lord Jesus Christ is going to control the elements. And if those nations will not come up to Jerusalem to learn God's ways, then he will see that they get no rain. And if there is no rain, there is no crops. So they very quickly will respond to God's ways. And if the family of Egypt don't come up, and come not, but have no rain, there shall be the plague. So he's going to punish them if they do not respond to him. "Wherewith the Lord will smite the nations that come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And this shall be the punishment of Egypt, and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles." They're going to be punished if they do not what God requires. Prophecy of Malachi chapter 4. "But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain," remember the Mount of Olives, "is going to cleave in its midst. God is going to build a great temple there where they will have to come up to the house of the Lord. It's going to be established there in the top of the mountains. It's going to be exalted above the hills, and all the nations, the people, are going to flow up to that temple to learn. And many nations shall say," see the difference, ladies and gentlemen? "Nations of their own free will are going to say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways.' People will want to go up and learn of his ways, because they have found that life is much better since the Lord Jesus Christ returns. They say, 'We will walk in his paths, for the Lord shall go forth out of Zion, or from Jerusalem. The word of the Lord is going to go out on that day.'" And people are going to respond to it because they know they are better off under the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are going to be the events that are going to herald the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, as we mentioned in our last lecture last Sunday, ladies and gentlemen, the uniting of Europe, as we saw in those prophecies, is a sure sign that Christ's return is very close. Then the prophecies of the Bible tell us that Russia will unexpectedly attack Israel, and those European nations are going to be supporting Russia in that work. When that happens, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. He's going to establish himself as king in Jerusalem. He's going to redeem the nation of Israel from the Russian oppression. And then the Lord Jesus Christ is going to reveal himself as a judge from Jerusalem, reigning as kings. And he's going to bring all nations into subjection. And this kingdom of God
is going to be established worldwide.
The nations are then going to come up to Jerusalem and they're going to learn of God's ways.
And then there are going to be peace upon the earth. That's what the Bible says, ladies and gentlemen, concerning the changes that are going to take place in the near future upon the earth. Let the Bible speak for itself as we conclude our remarks this evening.
You see, in Acts chapter 17 it says, "Because he, God, hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he hath foreordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he raised him from the dead." There's absolute proof and a promise from God. He's given us that assurance that because he has had the power to raise the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, he has also got the power to accomplish all these things. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure you can see the Bible has a message for us. The days are coming soon when the Lord Jesus Christ will be in this earth. We want you to be ready in that day when the Lord Jesus Christ is here. We want you to be accepted by him. And to that end, we are prepared to talk to you about the Bible. If you want any help, speak to any of the Christadelphians here. You are welcome to come into our homes to discuss the Bible. You're welcome to come to the seminars, to come along to other lectures that are here. But we urge you, ladies and gentlemen, to do it soon, because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, and he's going to come unexpectedly. Thank you.